It's a football Wednesday. It is a huge sports week here in Cleveland, Ohio. The Tribe tonight, the Browns tomorrow night. And our focus is on tomorrow night. NFL Network covering the game, of course, between the Browns and the Buffalo Bills. And we're going to talk about this Bills team, which is also 2-2, entering this game at First Energy Stadium with a great friend, former colleague. We worked together at the Buffalo News for many years, and he is covering the Bills. His name is Mark Gaughan. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, my pleasure, Vic. You can call me anytime. You can call me Saturday night when I'm having dinner at Hutch's, and I'll pick up.
Wow, that's commitment. That is good stuff, and that's a great restaurant, too, in Buffalo. All right, hey, Mark, so let's talk about the Bills, and the most interesting storyline, obviously, is E.J. Manuel. How ready do you think he is for the bright lights?
I think he is not as ready as you'd love for a rookie quarterback, not as ready as the surefire, quote-unquote, surefire top number one quarterbacks. But he has done better than I expected, and I think a lot of people expected. He's protected the ball pretty well. He came in and had a great training camp. I mean, his accuracy has been impressive, and he's got the physical tools. I mean, as you've seen, I mean, he passes the eyeball test.
He's played very well, especially in the three home games. Struggled a little bit in the road game against the Jets, under 50% completions in that one. Are you a little bit worried about the short week for Manuel and having to go on the road against a team in the Browns that hasn't allowed a passing touchdown in either of the last two games?
Well, absolutely. I mean, although it should be, you know, the Jets kind of do that to everybody. I mean, Rex Ryan, since 2009, has the number one defense quarterback completion percentage against, yada, 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 all those things. So, I mean, they held Brady under 50. Not that, you know. But, yeah, absolutely, especially against this defense, which is different, but as, you know, arguably as good as the Jets defense. And the Jets defense is really good.
Mark Gaughan is our guest from the Buffalo News, covering the Bills for a long time there. And check out his great work at buffalonews.com. Mark, when we talk about the Bills and what would be their pathway to victory, it starts with their running game, but so backed up in that backfield. Give me a sense of what the health is of those backs and where you see it going.
Fred Jackson sprained his knee Sunday. He's playing. He's going to wear a knee brace. He looked like he was running well in practice yesterday from what we saw.
Okay.
But he's less than 100%. I don't think he's going to be able to have a full workload. So, and then C.J. Spiller, their number one back, has a sprained ankle. We'll see what the injury, I suspect he'll be questionable. I think he's on the doubtful side of questionable. So, I think who knows? C.J.'s going to test it out before the game, but I think the likeliest scenario you're going to see is Tashard Choice and Fred Jackson splitting the carries 50-50-ish.
Mark, if I could just ask you to bear with us for a moment. As you know, our studio setup is right in the middle of the facility here, and it's all glass enclosed, and everybody kind of can see when we're rocking and rolling on this show. So we get impromptu visitors. And on this show, as we were sitting here, the defensive coordinator for the Browns, Ray Horton, stopped by, pulled on the headset and sat on a mic. He's been in here before, but he has slid into the chair, and we've obviously got to chat with him a little bit. Coach, how you doing?
Good. Where's Mark from, Buffalo?
Mark is the beat writer for the Buffalo News.
That's what I thought. How you doing, Mark?
Oh, great. Great, Ray.
Have you been to any Ted's Hot Dogs up there lately?
Yeah, I cooked my own Ted's Hot Dogs at home, but, I was actually looking forward to you being the Bills coach there for a while, but, maybe someday.
Maybe someday.
So, Coach, you're getting this team ready to play against Buffalo, young quarterback, and we know what your defense has done, this team's defense, for the last 4 weeks. Now that you're doing this on a short week, how does that impact the preparation and just getting everything the way you'd want it to? I'm sure as a coach you want much more preparation time than this, but how satisfied are you that they're ready to go tomorrow night?
They're ready. We practice a certain way, so whether it's a short week, long week, it makes zero difference to us whatsoever. We put in our package. We actually put in more. The guys are, you know, with the Cleveland Indians doing as well, you know, the town's excited and, you know, come on, yay Cleveland, go Cleveland Indians.
That's right. Yes.
So we're, you know, we're ready for everything and excited to go. It's a great week to be in Cleveland.
Coach, how gratified are you with the fact that after four games, the Browns are allowing just 4.2 yards per play, number one in the National Football League, and yet you haven't even been able to have all of your toys on the field at the same time yet? How much better can this defense get?
It's a testimony, I think, to our guys. There's nothing that I'm doing. It's all up front. It's secondary play, outstanding tackling, and I've talked about big men that can run and little men that can hit. I think it's on display, and the proudest moment so far of the defense for me is when Chris Owens got his sack, fumble, recovery, because it was a little man blitzing, doing his deal. So for me, it's still a work in progress. We're trying to get better every game. We work hard at it. And I'm just excited. The fans are excited. You go out there before the game, and the fans are yelling, and we want to put a good product on the field for our fans.
You know, I had a conversation with Phil Taylor the other day. I wrote a piece on this for ClevelandBrowns.com about the whole kind of attitude of this defense and that it plays with an edge. I think, Phil, I know you want every single guy to embody this, and I'm sure they do in your mind, but Phil seems to be like the guy that symbolically, you know, says what this defense is all about, that edge, that extra thing, and playing with an attitude and an aggressiveness, but physical. And it seemed, you know, he said that tone was set very early against Cincinnati, and that he could see it in the eyes of the Bengal players that, hey, we're in for a long day against these guys.
Well, Phil's a unique guy. He's kind of that oxymoron. He's kind of that dichotomy of space and time. Because he's our biggest player, he stays in the middle. He gets double teamed, but he's probably one of our smarter, more cerebral players. And it's an interesting mix of what he is and how he plays, and he has so much fun. But he's one of our leaders, and whatever Phil says, we do.
And he is bringing that attitude and swagger, and a guy who has been much maligned at times, who I think really has stepped up his game and may have had the best game of his career last week against the Bengals, Buster Skrine. How important is the confidence that seems to be growing? It started with the pass breakups in the end zone against Greg Jennings, carried over to Cincinnati, and if he can keep this level going, it's going to be tough to throw on this team with Joe Hayden playing right now as well as any corner in the National Football League.
When I first came in and started studying the film, Buster was one of the ones I was talking about when I said little men that can hit. He had 73 tackles last year, and he is a tough, tenacious little guy, and he's kind of really the role model for what a little man that will hit is. And Buster can make plays in space. He can catch the ball. He'll blitz. So he's one of my favorite guys.
Ray Horton, the defensive coordinator for the Browns. And drop it by. And one more, I know, and you got to get on to other stuff. But last one, Barkevious Mingo, yes. Three sacks, three games. Just an amazing start for this kid. What's allowed him, Coach, to just, besides talent, to just be this good this fast?
Well, talent.
Yeah, but
I wish I could say it was coaching, but I think it's more.
But he's
talent.
Picking stuff up. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's just relying on physical skill, or is he? Is he putting some things in his game, you know, moves and such that are also helping with him?
As good as he is right now, he's playing well for us. He will play better when he understands what he's doing. You know, we've kept things simple for him. I told you we only have about 50% of the defense in, and he's a main part of that, getting more things in.
Sure.
As he grows, we'll grow with the defense, and he will really be a barometer of how well we play. The better he plays, the more he learns, the better we'll be on defense.
Great. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
for
guys.
Taking
Phenomenal.
The time.
That was a nice
drop by the defensive coordinator for the Browns, Ray Horton, joining us here. And Mark Gaughan on the line with us from Buffalo, and we
–
That's okay. No, and Ray is apologizing to you, Mark, for dropping in on your interview, but we don't want to leave you hanging too much longer here, and thank you again for your patience. But, you know, you heard what he had to say, too, about what this team has in the way of pass rushers and depth and where it comes at him. So how do you see this Bills offensive line in general, how they've handle things and how you can see them handling things against this particular 3-4 scheme, because you know what Horton's scheme is all about, very much the Pittsburgh-like zone blitz?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, I just am really impressed. Watched two of the Browns games now, and he just, like everybody, thoroughly impressed with the Browns defense. And I think, you know, we're probably looking at a game, if turnovers don't go crazy, I think we're looking at a game much like Sunday's against Cincinnati. I mean, 10-6 going into the fourth quarter. I don't see the Bills, you know, they ran for 203 yards on Baltimore last Sunday. That is not happening this week. And I think the Bills' offensive line is pretty good. I think they'll run better than Miami did for sure. I think it's going to come down to the quarterback's going to have to make some plays. You are not, and that's going to, you know, you're not going to just play a safe, grounded out game against the Browns. It's just not happening. And so, you know, in an ideal scenario for the Bills, they run a little bit, you know, maybe 3.5 average, 3.4, you know, 2.9 is not cutting it. But, you know, they can convert third downs and keep that big front, tire it out a little so they become a little less effective, you know, but that's going to require the Bills to convert third downs, and that's not easy for a rookie quarterback on the road.
It is not easy to do, especially when you're going against Joe Hayden right now, probably playing as well as anybody in the National Football League at cornerback. Steve Johnson,
oh
one
God.
Catch for
I
negative
mean,
1 yards
yeah.
last week. That's going to be
I
a
mean,
tough
he put
matchup.
An invisibility cloak over A.J. Green. I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
So where the heck is this guy?
And he's done it to Mike Wallace. He's done it to Torrey Smith actually ended up having a pretty solid game, but he's done it week in and week out thus far. And, you know, when you look at this team, Robert Woods is a rookie, though, who I think has played pretty well, 80 yards and a touchdown last week. He's going to be a guy that the Bills are going to need to win some matchups with Buster Skrine, who we were just talking about with Ray Horton moments ago. But when you look at this receiving group, you know, Scott Chandler is back. Where are the plays going to come from against the defense playing as well on the back end as the Browns are right now?
Well, yeah, there you go. If the run gets, it's just like New England's, really the Browns have the ability to play like New England's great defenses have played. Contain the run with seven because your front seven is so good. Take away your top receiver with Joe Hayden, and now, okay, who's going to beat us? You show me who's going to beat us. Now, you know, Peyton Manning has answers. The great core team offenses have answers. But, okay, beat me with your left hand. You know, I mean, show me who's beat me with Scott Chandler and Robert Woods and T.J. Graham. And I think if the Bills are going to win, it's going to have to be those complementary players are going to have to make some plays. A bumbling turnover type game.
Hey, last one, Mark, and we're visiting with Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News, covers the Bills. The Mike Pettine's defense and the scheme that obviously contributed to Joe Flacco throwing five interceptions, although I think the Ravens' approach to that game and allowing him or having him throw as much as he did was a little crazy, I thought, on the road in a game like that. But anyhow, he threw five picks. Pressure was a big part of that. Pressure is going to be a big part of what they're going to want to do tomorrow night. Just give me a sense of how that front is playing, and Pettine, like Ray Horton, likes to dial it up and be very aggressive with those blitzes.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills' defense is legitimate. The Bills' defense is, you know, better than the numbers show. I mean, the Bills are a good defense against the run. The Browns are not going to run wild on them. Unless the Bills' offense gets so totally shut down, which could happen. But the Bills have a good defense. The Bills' for a defensive front seven is stout. Their front seven is really good. Now, their secondary is, as you, I'm sure you've documented, all banged up. So that's going to be a problem. And you know, covering Josh Gordon is going to be a major problem. So the Bills are going to, you know, the Bills rely, have the Ravens Jets-style defense, as you said. I mean, it's exactly the same scheme as the Ravens and the Jets. So they're a good defense, but they have injuries in the secondary. So I think if Brian Hoyer can make a few plays, you know, I think the Browns could do well.
Well, one more last thing. What's the latest on the health updates of that secondary as it stands now?
how the number one corner, Stephon Gilmore, who the Bills think can become a Joe Hayden-type player, he's out. The number two corner, Leotis McKelvin, is very questionable. He's going to try to go game-time decision. The number five corner is out. The number one free safety, Jairus Byrd, is probably out. So, they got issues.
That's not good. All right. Well, we'll see how it all plays out tomorrow night, though, Mark. And thank you so much again for your time, your patience, and really look forward to seeing you and the rest of my buddies from Buffalo tomorrow night.
Great, guys. See you tomorrow.
All right. He is Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News, giving us an update on the Bills team. I covered that team for 18 years back in the day, the Super Bowl run. In fact, tonight, Jim Kelly and Steve Tasker co-host, the former Bills greats, co-host this show on SiriusXM NFL Radio. So I'm going to go on and talk some Browns perspective with them. Yeah, so it's great to reunite with these guys. All right, we've got a lot of fun stuff ahead. The roundtable will be coming up at the top of the hour. It'll be Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Michael Regei, also with us on that. Your calls, we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. And your tweets, that's right, your barks from the pound, your growls from the pound at Browns_daily. It's got to be strong. It's got to be tough. We want to hear it.
That's right. Bring it. Let's go. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.